Good afternoon. On the update this Tuesday, we're talking about the confusing school path going forward. Parents and school administrators are starting to get some long-awaited answers to their back-to-school questions, as Governor Cuomo says that schools will be allowed to open for the fall in areas where the virus is under control. Nationally, though, in school board meetings, social media debates, and the online petitions over face masks, they've often devolved into mudslinging. We'll have the latest details. The NYPD says that 5 people have been shot in Brooklyn in 3 drive-by shootings that appear to be linked to the same vehicle. Chief of Detectives Rodney Harrison says that all 5 victims who appear to have been intended targets are expected to survive. The Washington NFL team will be shedding the Redskins name effective immediately. The change, though, comes less than 2 weeks after owner Dan Snyder launched an organizational review amid pressure from sponsors to make a change. And the federal government has carried out its first execution in almost 2 decades, killing by lethal injection a man convicted of murdering an Arkansas family in a 1990s plot to build a whites-only nation in the Pacific Northwest. This is the update, Tuesday, July the 14th, 2020.
This is the update with Brandon Julian, reporting tonight on the road.
And a very pleasant Tuesday to you. Brandon Julian here, the host of The Update, podcast exclusive, also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel. We are back again because there's lots of school news to talk about as we are getting into the mostly swing of the back-to-school season. We do have a lot of news to get to this Tuesday. We're going to begin, of course, with the ongoing debate about whether schools should reopen. There are parents here in New York and school administrators. They're getting long-awaited answers to their back-to-school questions. The governor said yesterday that schools will be allowed to open for the fall in areas where the virus is under control. Education officials, meanwhile, outlined a draft of guidance for whether that happens in person, remotely, or just a combination of both. Districts have until the end of this month, July 31st, to detail school-by-school reopening plans. The governor says they'll be able to move forward with them in regions that are both in phase 4 of the state's overall reopening and have seen daily infection rates of 5% or less for 2 weeks. Nationally, though, the schools and educators across the country, they've now landed in the middle of an increasingly politicized debate over how best to reopen schools in the fall. It's a daunting challenge, of course, as virus infections spike in many places. Some parents object to masks and social distancing and want schools open full-time. Others, though, are calling for part-time school and face coverings for all. And whenever school board meetings, social media debates, and online petitions have happened, they've often devolved into mudslinging. Some parents are threatening to pull their children from school districts if masks are required. Other parents and many teachers just want precautions to be taken. Back here in New York, the governor is facing some blistering criticism over a report that found no strong link between a controversial state directive that sent thousands of recovering virus patients into nursing homes and some of the nation's deadliest nursing home outbreaks. Scientists, healthcare professionals, and elected officials assailed the report that was released last week for failing to address the actual impact of the March 25th order. Some have accused the state of using the study to absolve Cuomo by reaching the same conclusion that he had floated for weeks, that infected nursing home employees were the real drivers of the outbreaks. To the state capital in Albany we go now, where travelers from certain states are landing at the city area airport starting today. They could face a $2,000 fine for failing to fill out a form that state officials will use to track travelers and ensure that they are following quarantine restrictions. New York, of course, that was hard hit by the pandemic in March and April, is now trying to get more travelers to comply with a June advisory that's aimed at reducing the spread of COVID-19 from states where the virus is now surging. New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut all last month issued a joint travel advisory that requires a 14-day quarantine period for travelers from a list that now includes 19 states, including Texas and Florida, where COVID-19 appears to be spreading. And we all know the mass transit systems around the world. They've taken some sweeping steps to curb the spread, including shutting down some subways overnight and testing powerful ultraviolet lamps to disinfect seats, poles, and floors. But experts say those steps only solve a part of the problem because the virus is more often spread through the air. Transit officials are studying more advanced cleaning methods that might someday automatically disinfect transit systems around the clock. The Moscow Metro and a public bus company in Shanghai have experimented with germ-killing ultraviolet light. And agencies in Hungary and the Czech Republic have tried using ozone gas as a disinfectant. There is other news of this Tuesday to address. We will address those when the update with Brandon Julian, podcast exclusive, also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel, returns in just 60 seconds.
Across someone struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? By their clothes, their age, the way they speak? Would you notice a 16-year-old boy who got his first job?
Not for extra spending money, but to help feed his little sisters?
Or a mother who's in between jobs and sometimes goes to bed hungry so her kids can have dinner? Or a 14-year-old girl who signs up to every after-school activity not to make friends, but just to get something to eat? Or a retiree who fell ill and had to choose
between getting medicine or groceries?
I am the one in eight Americans who struggle with hunger. People you pass by every day but never knew were hungry. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America, 200 Food Banks Strong, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everyone. Some of the other news of this Tuesday. In Brooklyn, the NYPD says that five people that have been shot in three drive-by shootings appear to be linked to the same vehicle. Chief Detective Rodney Harrison says that all five victims, who appeared to have been intended targets yesterday, are expected to survive. He asked the public for help in finding the white four-door sedan that's believed to be involved. A 23-year-old woman that was shot four times in the chest was among the victims. The others were all 19-year-old men, with the shootings taking place within a 14-minute span. There's a judge that now says that Mary Trump can talk about the highly critical book she wrote about her uncle over the objections of the president's brother. The ruling was issued late yesterday by State Supreme Court Judge Hal B. Greenwald in Poughkeepsie. The judge reversed orders he had issued, temporarily blocking Mary Trump and her publishers, Scheinman & Schuster, from publishing or distributing a tell-all book about the president. An appeals judge had already lifted the order blocking Simon & Schuster. The book, Too Much and Never Enough, How My Family Created the World's Most Dangerous Man, was originally to be published at the end of July. But the publisher had announced last week that it would be published today. Simon & Schuster and a lawyer for Mary Trump praised the ruling. To Long Island we go now, out of Valley Stream, where community members there are rallying around a single mother who said that she's being racially harassed by a neighbor who's throwing feces and dead squirrels in her yard. On a handwritten sign covering her front door, Jennifer McLeagan, who is black, says her white neighbor has been harassing her since she bought her house in Valley Stream 2 years ago. Twitter and Instagram posts about the situation prompted supporters to plan a protest back on Thursday. Nassau County Executive Laura Curran said yesterday the police are investigating and that harassment will not be tolerated. Across the river in Ventnor, New Jersey, there's a man here from the city that drowned while helping two friends who were struggling in the rough waters off the southern New Jersey coast. Authorities say the body of 18-year-old Jalon Alston was found around 6:20 on Saturday night in the waters off of Atlantic City. The discovery came a day after the Brooklyn man had vanished while swimming at a beach in nearby Ventnor. Alston, who had recently graduated from high school, was swimming with two friends when the pair began to struggle in the rough waters on Friday night. Alston was able to help push them toward shore, but soon disappeared under the water. And finally, let's go over to West Point here in New York, because West Point, they are now welcoming its newest class of cadets a little bit differently this year because of the pandemic. The more than 1,220 cadet candidates this year are arriving over 3 days, from Sunday through Tuesday, instead of just one day as usual. The candidates are immediately being tested for COVID-19, with results coming back in an hour. And cadet basic training has been shortened from 6 weeks to four. Brigadier General Curtis A. Buzzard, the commandant of cadets, says that he's confident that the new arrivals will be well trained. Let's wish them all the very best of luck. Time for us to step aside for a moment. When we return on the update this Tuesday, we'll help you get around with the MTA Central Service Plan. We're going to talk some sports and talk about how the Washington NFL team, they're shedding the name Redskins effective immediately. We'll talk about what happened on this day in history, and then we will address the latest national news, including how the federal government, they've now carried out their first execution in almost two decades, killing by lethal injection a man that was convicted of murdering an Arkansas family in a 1990s plot to build a whites-only nation in the Pacific Northwest. We will address that and more when the update with Brandon Julian, a podcast exclusive also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel, returns in just a moment.
News for New Yorkers who never stop moving. You're listening to the update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
Okay, forest animals, today is a new day. Kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow.
Yes?
Have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. Okay, river.
Dude.
How's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man. Perfect for a little riverside shoeless relaxation.
Ah, good. Owl, you here?
Of course.
Who's asking? I am. Look, you know the drill. Sleep during the day, scare the kids at night.
Perfect. I love my job.
Oak tree?
Sup?
Still in the same place I left you last year. That's what I like. Consistency.
Well, it's not like I'm going anywhere for the next couple hundred years.
I know. I love it. Turtle. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. You'd think he would have learned by now to leave the night before our meetings. Okay. Squirrel. Has anybody seen Mr. Squirrel?
The forest has been preparing just for you. Visit a forest near you today. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Of all the radio stations in New York, we just happen to be one of them. This is the update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
Keeping an eye on the roads, the rails, and the skies. It's time for traffic and weather together.
Just a reminder that this is a sign of respect to your fellow riders. When you ride, you must wear a mask or covering that protects your nose and mouth for your entire trip. It's the law and also a sign of respect to your fellow riders. There's also no scheduled service on the Grand Central Shuttle and Z trains. For alternate service, you can use the 7 and J trains. The subways also close every night from 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. for disinfecting and cleaning of trains and stations. Learn more at mta.info/overnight.
Now, with the latest scores and highlights, it's time for the Sports Update.
Let us talk some sports on this Tuesday. And in Washington, the NFL team there is shedding the Redskins name effective immediately. The change is coming less than 2 weeks after owner Dan Snyder launched an organizational review amid the pressure from sponsors to make a change. FedEx, Nike, Pepsi, and Bank of America all lined up against the name, which was given to the franchise in 1933 when the team was still based in Boston. A new name for one of football's oldest franchise must still be selected, and it's unclear how soon that will happen. Native American experts and advocates have long protested the name they call a, quote, dictionary-defined racial slur. More than a dozen Native leaders and organizations wrote a letter to NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell last week demanding an immediate end to Washington's use of the name. Goodell, which has fielded questions on the topic for years, said that he supported the review. And also, in Atlanta, following the move from Washington, the Braves now say that they have no plans to follow the lead of the Redskins and change their team name. The Tomahawk Chop chant that is used by Braves fans, though, is under review. The team said in the letter that it is seeking input from the Native American community, fans, players, and former players, as it examines the fan experience, including the chant. The Redskins, of course, announced yesterday that they will change their name and Indian head logo. The Braves said that they have established a, quote, cultural working relationship with the Eastern Band of Cherokee Nations in North Carolina and formed a Native American working group. The name came with the team from its move from Milwaukee to Atlanta in 1966. The name was adopted in 1912 when the team was still based in Boston. When we return on the update this Tuesday, we will talk about what happened on this day in history, and then we will address the latest national news, including our overseas. The British Health Secretary, Matt Hancock, now says that the wearing of face coverings will be mandatory in shops and supermarkets in England. We will address that and more when the update with Brian and Julian, podcast exclusive, also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel, returns in just a moment.
Keep it tuned in to WKRB. The update returns in a moment.
Okay, men. This is your time. Maybe you didn't choose this, but you're here now. You're going to go out there and be an all-star caregiver. It's up to you. So what are you going to do? You're gonna go grocery shopping, cook, clean, be there emotionally and physically. You gotta dig deeper. Drive them to physical therapy, doctor's appointments. Don't you forget about the pharmacy. I know you won't, because that's what caregivers do. Don't give up. Don't ever give up. This is your time to show the world, your family, and yourself that you're tougher than tough. Now go out there and be the best caregiver this world has ever seen. Caregiving is tougher than tough. Find the care guides you need at aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Paging common sense. Paging common sense. Is there any common sense left in the room? This is the update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
Welcome back to The Update with Brandon Julian, podcast exclusive also on the WKRV Mixcloud channel. You know, in this so far in the summer of 2020, if you've been out to the park or to the beaches or whatever, it just feels, you feel like if you've been wearing like shorts or anything, haven't you noticed it feels like the mosquitoes this year have just been out for blood? And if they're not out for blood, haven't they felt like they've just been a little more aggressive than they have in recent years? No, because I was at the beach with my wife yesterday, and I don't know how many times I got bit, but it really does feel like it's a lot of bites, even more bites than normal. Tony should ask a health expert if the mosquitoes being this aggressive, is this normal for this time of year? Or are they only being more aggressive because people have been cooped up inside for how long and this is their way of getting revenge? Hopefully it's not. But I digress. In the meantime, while we work on getting any of those answers, let's talk about what happened on this day in history for this July the 14th. The highlight of his day came in 2016 when terror struck Bastille Day celebrations in the French Riviera city of Nice as a large truck plowed into a festive crowd, killing 86 people in an attack claimed by Islamic State extremists. The driver was shot dead by police. In 1789, in an event symbolizing the start of the French Revolution, citizens of Paris stormed the Bastille prison and released the 7 prisoners inside. In 1798, Congress passed the Sedition Act, making it a federal crime to publish false, scandalous, or malicious writing about the United States government. In 1865, the Matterhorn, straddling Italy and Switzerland, was summited as a 7-member rope party led by British climber Edward Whymper reached the peak. 4 members of the party, though, fell to their deaths during their descent, but Whymper and 2 guides survived. In 1914, scientist Robert H. Goddard received the U.S. patent for a liquid-fueled rocket apparatus. In 1921, Italian-born anarchists Nicola Sacco and Bartolomeo Vanzetti, otherwise known as Sacco and Vanzetti, were convicted in Dedham, Massachusetts, of murdering a shoe company paymaster and his guard. Sacco and Vanzetti were executed 6 years later. In 1933, all German political parties, except for the Nazi Party, were outlawed. In 1960, British researcher Jane Goodall arrived at the Gombe Stream Reserve in the Tanganyika territory in present-day Tanzania to begin her famous study of chimpanzees in the wild. In 1980, the Republican National Convention opened in Detroit, where nominee apparent Ronald Reagan told a welcoming rally he and his supporters were determined to, quote, make America great again. In 2004, the Senate scuttled a constitutional amendment banning gay marriage. 48 senators voted to advance the measure, 12 short of the 60 needed, and 50 voted to block it. In 2009, disgraced financier Bernie Madoff arrived at the Butner Federal Correctional Complex in North Carolina to begin serving a 150-year sentence for his massive Ponzi scheme. In 2013, thousands of demonstrators across the country protested the Florida jury's decision the day before to clear George Zimmerman in the shooting death of Trayvon Martin. And in 2014, the Church of England voted overwhelmingly in favor of allowing women to become bishops. When we return on the update this Tuesday, we will talk the latest national news, including how the president's push to reopen schools is being complicated by a split within his own ranks over how to do it. We will address that and more when the update with Brandon Julian, podcast exclusive, also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel, returns in just a moment.
News for New Yorkers who never stop moving. You're listening to The Update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
These are the sounds of a dinner. A dinner that almost didn't happen. A dinner now served, thanks to people like you. Due to COVID-19, 17 million more Americans may face hunger. Feeding America is helping our neighbors in need. And if you're able, you can too. Donations are being accepted at feedingamerica.org/coronavirus. Brought to you by the Ad Council and Feeding America.
Is that a faucet running?
That's not a faucet. That's a river rushing through the forest. Forest rivers provide over 100 million people with clean water to drink.
What? I can't hear you because of the vacuum.
That's not a vacuum. That's the trees in the forest cleaning up the air we breathe.
I didn't know the trees were so amazing.
Yep, and the forest gives us shade, trees to climb.
That's awesome. Let's go explore some more.
Visit the forest today and enjoy all it does just for you. To learn more about the forest and find one near you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
From New York City, doing business in the same location since 1904, this is The Update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
Welcome back to The Update, Brandon Julian, podcast exclusive also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel. Let's talk the latest national news on this Tuesday. And we're going to begin out in Terre Haute, Indiana, where the federal government has now carried out its first execution in almost two decades, killing by lethal injection a man convicted of murdering an Arkansas family in a 1990s plot to build a whites-only nation in the Pacific Northwest. A 47-year-old Daniel Lewis Lee of Yukon, Oklahoma, died today at the federal prison in Terre Haute. Lee's last words were, quote, "You're killing an innocent man." Lee is the first death row inmate to be executed since 2003. Lee's execution came over the objection of the victim's family and following a series of delays and legal challenges related to the pandemic. Lee's lawyer says it's beyond shameful that the government carried out the execution. Overseas in London, British Health Secretary Matt Hancock now says that the wearing of face coverings will be mandatory in shops and supermarkets in England. The requirement is expected to take effect on July 24th. The decision today follows weeks of pre-verification by the government over masks' worth during the pandemic. Hancock told lawmakers in the House of Commons that face coverings can help keep people working in shops safe and can give people more confidence to shop safely. Already, people in England have to wear face coverings on transport, public transport, and in a hospital setting. Anyone not wearing a face covering in those environments could be fined £100, that's $125 in conversion, and shops can refuse entry to anyone failing to comply. Going back to Washington now, the president's push to reopen schools is being complicated by a split within his own ranks over how to do it. Some advisors are advocating for a massive federal expenditure to make campuses safe. This comes as Congress is compiling the next COVID-19 relief bill. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said yesterday that schooling will be a priority in the coming package. Senate Democrats have proposed a $430 billion education stabilization plan. But the Republican leader has not said how much Congress is willing to spend. He's wary of high-dollar spending that will run into resistance from GOP senators. Vice President Mike Pence assured governors on a private call that talks are underway for additional education funds from Congress. And finally, down in Baton Rouge in Louisiana, speaking of Vice President Pence, he's headed to Louisiana amid the state's resurgence as one of the nation's hotspots for the virus only months after seeming to contain its outbreak. The Vice President was scheduled to meet today with Democratic Governor John Bel Edwards, members of the congressional delegation, and state health officials to talk about Louisiana's response to the COVID-19 disease. Pence's visit comes as Louisiana's confirmed virus cases, percentage of positive tests, and COVID-19 patient hospitalization rates are surging. Edwards enacted a statewide mask mandate for people ages 8 and older that took effect yesterday and returned bars to takeout and delivery only. I will let you guys ponder on all this. As we say in the words of Walter Cronkite, that's the way it is. Tuesday, July the 14th, 2020. That is the update on this Tuesday. I'm Brandon Julian. We appreciate you joining us. And in the words of Roger Grimsby and Bill Butel, hoping that your news is good news, I thank you very much for joining me. Good luck, be safe, be well, and we'll see you back here again very soon.